Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi Brachas is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Yisrael Silver, Olah Shalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hadar edition on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis with the beginning of the sixth Perek, Ketzad Mevorchen. In the Vilna edition, it is on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. Begins the Mishnah, Ketzad Mevorchen Ala Peres. How does one make a bracha on fruits? In other words, what is the nusach of the Birchas Hananen, the bracha over having pleasure from fruits? What is the text, the nusach of that bracha? Now, from this question, it would appear that it was a given to the Mishnah that one is mechuyev to make a bracha. The only question is, what is the nusach? And Tosfos in the Bavli, Brachas, Daf Lamed Hei Amid Aleph, the first Tosfos in the Perek, Divrei Maskil Ketz Mevorchim, says that our Mishnah is predicated on the earlier Mishnah there in the Bavli, on Daf Chof Amid Beis, which we've already had in our Masechta as well, in the Yerushalmi, that we see clearly that the Mishnayis accept the fact that there's a chiv to make a bracha. The Mishnah there states that a Balkari, one who has a seminal emission, he makes a bracha la'achorav, which is Birchas Hamazon, which is a deraisa, but he does not make the brachas lefun of before he eats something. They're only midrabanan. But what do we see? That there is a chiyuv midrabanan to make brachas, Birchas Hananin, to make hamotzi. There's a chiyuv midrabanan. So our Mishnah was going based on that Mishnah. However, one could ask, how does the Mishnah of the Balkari know that there is a chiv midrabanan to make brachas, birchas hananin? So the Pnei Moshe here brings a svara, which is really the conclusion of the Gemara in the Bavli on Daf Lamed Hei. The Gemara there concludes that it is a svara. El svarahu, asur loy la'adam sheyehenem in ha'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. It's a svar, it's a logic that if Hashem gave us something to have hanoah from, that we should first thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving this to us. It is a svar. Says the Pnei Moshe, we'll learn it inside, the svarahu, shemavorchen alanenen, kedei shelo yehenem olam hazeh b'loy bracha. The Rosh Cirillo here, in the bottom right-hand corner, tells us that nirud akrokoi, that the Mishnah is going on psukim. We find that you're mechuyev to make a bracha, rishoina and achroina, on the shivas haminim, eretz chitu se'ora. And then the Torah says, v'chalto, v'savato, v'rachto. So we clearly see that there's a chiyev of making a bracha achroina, whether it's the bracha mein sholosh, on mezoinis, on fruits, or whether it's a birchas hamazon, on bread. And then we have a svara, kivan de mevorach lechrein, kolshkein de mevorach lefnein. Dikishuhu saveya mevorach, kishu rov lekolshkein. The Gemara has a kal v'chomer. If we find that there's a chiyuv for a person to make a bracha once he is satiated, once he's full, and he doesn't need so much HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now because he's already eaten, so kal v'chomer, when he's hungry and he needs Hashem to provide him the food, certainly has to make a bracha. And then the Rosh Cirillo says that once we've established by the Shivas Haminin, the seven species which Eretz Yisrael was blessed with, that you have to make a bracha achroina, and as we said, a kal v'chomer, a bracha rishoina. So hu adin, this is an example that for all Birchas Hananin, one is mechuyev to make a bracha. So says the Rosh Cirillo. Actually, we will see in our Gemara that the Gemara is going to bring several sources to show us that there is an obligation to make Birchas Hananin, to make a bracha before one has hanoah from fruits. So based on this, our Mishnah begins, Ketzad Mevorchen Ala Peres. How does one make a bracha on fruits? What's the nusach? Says the Mishnah, Al Peres Ha'ilan, who I'm Mirbar creates on fruits of a tree. He says the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Alekeinu Melech Olam, Borei Priyates, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the fruits of the tree. Chutz Min HaYayin. The only exception is wine. Shal HaYayin, who I'm Mirbar Priyagefen. On wine, he says, Bar Priya Geffen. And both the Pnei Moshe and the Charedim say the same thing. the exact word, Shemetoy Chashivusoy Kavuloi Bracha La'atzma V'chein Hapas. Since wine is such a choshiva beverage, it received its own bracha and not the regular Bar Pri Eitz, but it received the bracha of Bar Pri Hagofen, and the same thing that bread, although it would be fitting to make a Bar Pri Adama on bread, it comes from kernels, which we're soon going to see in the Mishnah. We should normally make a Bar Pri Adama, but since bread is so choshiv, they were keveya, bread should have its own bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Continues the Mishnah of Alperis Ha'aretz and fruits of the earth, Hu Oimer Bar Pri Adama. He says, Baruch Atah Hashem L'keinu Melech Olam, Borei Pri Adama, that Hashem created the fruits of the ground. Chutz min hapas, as we just learned, the only exception is bread. Shalapas huayim ramoitzi lechem min haaretz, that Hashem brought out bread from the ground. Let's conclude the Mishnah, and we'll explain it in detail. Va'al hayurakos, and on green herbage, for example, like cabbage, another word for yurakos is dishoyim, where one eats the plant. Ali Yerakas Huaymer Bar Pri Adama. Ma'adik Tanakama holds that on Yerakas you also make a Bar Pri Adama. Rabbi Yehuda Huaymer Bar Min Adishoyim. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that you have to be very specific with the brachas. And therefore, although Bar Pri Adama would be kolal in it, Dishoyim as well, which are Yerakas, herbage and cabbage and other greens, where one eats the plant itself, but we have to be more specific and not say Bar Pri Adama. We thank Hashem by showing him specificity, that we're specific in the brach of Bar Minei Dishoyim. So actually, according to the Tanakhama, Bar Pri Adama is kolel three different types, three sugim of vegetation. One is a peri itself, Boire Pri Adama, such as turnips, gourds, and melons. The second one is the shoim, as we just discussed, herbage and cabbage and other greens, where one doesn't eat a fruit, but rather one is eating the plant itself. And the third category is zroim, where like grains and legumes, kitneous, where the seeds are eaten and not the plant. So in fact, we find, not in the Mishnah here, but the Gemara later brings a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that on grains and legumes one makes boirei minei zroim. Again, because Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that there is more shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we specify exactly what we're making the bracha on. So we don't use the general shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of boirei pri adama, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are specific. If it comes to a melon or a gourd, so then, or a turnip, we're going to make Bar Pri Adama. If it comes to herbage and cabbage and lettuce, we're going to make Bar Minei Dishoyim, where we're eating the plant itself. And when it comes to such a food, where we're eating the seeds, grains, and legumes, there we're going to make Bar Minei Zroyim. And on all of these categories, the Tanakhama holds, no, that we make one bracha, and that is Bar Pri Ha'adama. Before we begin the Gemara, let us look for a moment in the Charedim, the second Charedim in the Gemara, in the left-hand column, Ad she'atiru lo ha-mitzvahs, says the Charedim, the Rami be-Bavli, they ask a stira in the Bavli, on Daf Lamed Hei Amid Aleph, Ksiv, one pasuk in Tehillim says, L'Hashem ha'oretz umloya, to Hashem is the earth and all that it is filled with. And another pasuk in Tehillim says, "V'oretz nasan l'vnei adam." Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem. V'oretz nasan l'vnei adam. First pasuk says that the oretz is Hashem's, and the second pasuk says it was given to man. And the Bavli answers, "V'tiritz kan kaidem bracha kan lacha bracha." Before the bracha belongs to Hashem. After the bracha, it belongs to man. So the lashon in the Bavli, which the Charedim is bringing Bekitzer, is Rablevi Rami. Rablevi asked the Stira, Ksiv Hashem Horatzum Loya, Uksiv Hashem 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 Horatzum Hashem Adam, Loi kasha, kan koidin bracha, kan la'achar bracha. Another member that's found right there on Daf Lamed Hamed Aleph in the Bavli, Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, kol hanena min olam hazeh, kiilu nena mikotshei shemayim. He's like moil in Hegdish. He's having a noah from that which belongs to Hashem. Shenemar, la'ashem, ho'aretz umloya. To Hashem belongs the earth and everything that the earth is filled with. And on this pasuk, the Haredim, the first Haredim in the Gemara, L'Hashem Ha'aretz, because our Gemara in the Yerushalmi is going to quote this pasuk as well, says the Haredim, Mashma Kodesh L'Hashem. The pasuk of L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umloyma is Mashma, that it's holy to Hashem. And also there in the Bavli, there's another Chazal, Kol Hanene Me'olam Hazeh B'loy Bracha, is Mo'al. He's moil and hegdish, just like someone who uses hegdish for his own enjoyment. He's over on me'ila. So too, someone who uses that which belongs to Hashem and doesn't make a bracha, he's being moil in hegdish. Now, based on this hagdama, we will see the Yerushalmi that says it all bekitzer. Once we know the background of the Bavli that said it in more arichus, we will understand what the Yerushalmi is saying. Begins the Gemara. Kate said mevorach al peres ksiv l'Hashem ha'aretz umloya, and the Yerushalmi concludes the pasuk tevel, the inhabited world, the yoshveva, and those who dwell in the inhabited world. Hanene klum min ha'olam mal. If you have any anor from this world, your mal ad sheyatiru loy hamitzvos, until you receive a matir. What is the matir? What permits you to have an anor from this world? That is the mitzvahs. And we'll see in a moment what the mitzvahs refers to. But this Yerushalmi is basically, and that's why the Haredim brought the Bavli, the Yerushalmi is only quoting one pasuk, L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umloya. But really, it's based on the stira, because the other pasuk says, V'aretz Nasan Bnei Adam, and therefore, to be miyashiv the stira, we have to say that a person is moil from Hashem, from Hegdish, L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umloya, that's what the Haredim says, Kodesh L'Hashem. The world before a bracha is holy, belongs to Hashem. And if you have a no without making a bracha, you're moil. Ad she'atir le'amitzes. V'aretz Nasan Bnei Adam, he gave that holy world, that's Hegdish, he gave it to man, when man made a bracha. So what does the Yerushalmi mean, ad sheyatiru loy hamitzvos? In the Bavli we found, kan koidim bracha, kan lacha bracha. The Yerushalmi is using a different lashon, mitzvos. Says the Haredim, mitzvos, that's birchas hananen. Dehi mitzvos aseh deraisa. And the Haredim goes on to explain that even though it's a mitzvah midrabbanan, but since the Torah says, you should not deviate from that which the Chachamim tell you. So therefore comes out that every bracha you make, because the Rabbanan told you to make a bracha, you're actually being mekayim the deraisa of not going away, not deviating from everything that the Chazal tell you to do. V'chein, the Haredim concludes, b'chol maichel, the tiknu levar, t'chil v'soif. That's the mitzvah that we're talking about. Mitzvah l'shmoyel, l'divri Chachamim. It's a mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim. But really, what he's referring to is the brachas. However, if one looks in the Marav Fulda, in the left-hand margin, the Marav Fulda explains it a little differently. She'atiru loy ha-mitzvahs, trumis, umaisris, ve'habrachas, ha-shaychem l'chol min shehein pidyoinan. So he learns your pod, as we're going to see in the next Gemara, that this world is compared to karam revai, fruits that are also for 3 years, orla, and on the fourth year to become mutter, and you have to eat them in Yerushalayim, unless you're paid to them, and then you take the money and you spend it on food in Yerushalayim. But they're hegdish until you're paid to them. So the Marav Fulda is learning mitzvahs not necessarily just brachas, but it includes those mitzvahs that are matter you to eat things. One of them is trumas, one is maisras, yes, brachas as well. Brachas is also a brach is also a matter, it's permitting you to, it's like you're paided the hegdish, you're redeeming the hegdish. However, if one looks in the Hagoyis HaGra, the Hagoyis HaGra learned like the Haredim, not like the Marav Fulda. In Ois Aleph, Pirish HaBrachas, what are mitzvahs referring to? That's like the Bavli, what the Bavli referred to brachas. That's what the Yerushalmi means also. Pirish, the mitzvahs, means HaBrachas. Sha'oisin koidem shenene me'oisa dover. Before you have pleasure from that thing, you make a Birchas HaNenin. And in the parentheses it says, ve'enira le Adoinu Marenu Rabbeinu Hagoyin Lefaresh Keharaf. The Raf is the Mara Fulda. The Atrumas Umaisris Koi. The Gra did not want to learn like the Mara Fulda that's going on Trumas Umaisris. Rather, he learned it's going on Brachas, just on Brachas, as the Charedim told us. Continues the Gemara with a second limud of Birchas Hanenin. We already learned one limud, which was based on the stira between L'Hashem Ratzon Loya and V'Oretz Nasal V'nei Adam, which the Yerushalmi didn't mention the stira, but that's what he's referring to, because it comes out the only thing that permits you to have hanor from this world is the bracha. That's V'Oretz Nasal V'nei Adam, kan koidim bracha, kan lacha bracha. So that's the what the Yerushalmi said, similar to the Bavli. Now comes a different pshat. Amar Rabavua, Ksiv. Rabavua is going to bring us a pasuk concerning Klaye Kerem. When someone plants together a vine, a grape, with wheat. So there's a pashat pshat in the pasuk, and then there's a drush. And we are mainly concerned in this Gemara with the drush. Ksiv, Pen Tigdash Hamaleya. We'll first learn the simple pshat. That's speaking about Klaye Kerem. Don't plant them together, the pasuk says, because if you do, pentigda shamaleya hazera shetizra utvua sakarim, because maybe the malaya, that which grows because of your putting the two minim together, it'll fill out and grow, and that will become hegdish. And as we'll see in the Charedim, we learn tigdash means tukad eish. You're going to have to burn it. You're not going to be able to have any hanor from it. And what are you going to have to burn? You're going to have to burn hazera shetizra, the wheat, the utfua sakarim, and the that which grew from the vineyard. That's going to have to be destroyed. Let us see the charedim, pen tigdash, beklaya karim ksiv, vidorshu by tigdash tukadesh. You cannot plant them. You cannot keep them. Vasur and Banar, you cannot have pleasure for them. Vein like pigeon, you can't redeem them. You have to destroy them. But now it's interesting. Here comes the drush. In this pasuk, we find three key words. One word is tigdash, that it's holy. The second word is hamleya. That is a reference to the pasuk we mentioned before, Lashem or it's umloya, the whole world. And then we have the comparison to Tvuas HaKerem. We're speaking about a vineyard. So the Gemara makes a drash. Let's see the Charedim further. Umidav kebeloshen kodesh. Since we describe this with the word holy, kodesh, dorshu by derech remez, through a remez, a hint, they darshan this pasuk. The chol ha'olam kodesh. Kekerem revai, the chsivbei, uvishan ha'revias, yiyeh kol piryoi, kodesh ilul mashem. By Kerem Revai, it says that it's Kodesh. The fourth year, you can eat it. But it's Kodesh. And we're comparing Hamloya. Hamloya refers to Lashem Ratzon Hamloya. We're comparing the whole world. To what? To Tvuas HaKerem, to the vineyard, which is holy on the fourth year. If you want to be podet, you have to redeem it and then take the money and eat in your shlayim. Otherwise, it remains with its kedush. You have to take the fruits themselves to Yerushalayim. So here we see that the whole world is compared to a kerem. Which kerem? The drash is not the klaya kerem, which you have to destroy, but the kerem revai, which the pasuk refers to as kodesh ilul mashem. So pen tigdash. The world is compared to the kerem, which has kedusha, and that kedusha can only be removed through pigeon. As the Charedim says in the next Charedim, Kekerem, the Shana Revias, the Kerem of the fourth year, the Usser, La'ichloi, B'loi Pigeon, you cannot eat it without pigeon. Let us go back to the Gemara. Now that we said the pasuk, the Gemara darshins the second bottom line, the last word, ha'olam kulo yumloyoy. That's the word hamaleya, refers to Hashem Oretz Yumloyoy, the whole world. Osui kikerem. It's made like a kerem. It's holy like a kerem. It needs pigeon like the kerem revai. Umahu pigeonoy. And what is the pigeon of the whole world if you're going to eat an apple? What's the pigeon of that holy apple, which is like kerem revai? The pigeon is bracha. I says the last line of the charedim, maybe the pigeon is like the pigeon by kerem revai of money. The efshir loimer says the charedim pigeon mois kikerem. As we continue in the charedim on daf samachamid aleph on the top right column. It cannot be that it means money like kerem revai. Delay it shri chatar pigeon mois el bishon revias. Money is only required on the fourth year. Hab chamishas loy, on the fifth year, you eat it regularly and you're not poide. V'hua din l'chol hanois tamit. And here we're speaking about all pleasures. So how are we comparing it to kerem revai? What, on the fourth year you have to pay money, and what about the other years? Elavade pigeon the less bechasar kiskamar the hainu bracha. There's one pigeon that has nothing to do with money. Money is only applicable by kerem revai the fourth year. Afterwards there is no pigeon. So how are we comparing the hanois of oilam hazeh every year of a person's life? What does he have to give? Money? Money doesn't apply after the fourth year. So how are we comparing it to kerem revai? We're comparing it just like kerem revai requires pigeon on the fourth year. So l'shem ortzim loya pentigda shamleya, the kedusha of the whole world also requires pigeon. But what pigeon is that? That's the pigeon of a bracha, which will always be poide any food that a person has. Continues the Gemara on the top of Daf Samach Amud Aleph, a third Mahalach, in where we see that there is a mitzvah to make a bracha for Birchas Hanenin. Rab Chizkia and Rab Yirmia and Rab Avin said in the Bishem, Rab Shimon ben Lakish, on the Pasuk, Amart Lashem, you said to Hashem, Adonai Ata, you are my master. Toivasi, my toiva, bala lecha, is not to you. So the charedim in the third line in the right-hand column explains, Amart lashon nekeva. David HaMelech, medaber al nafshi. David was speaking to his neshama, and he was saying, Kishat amart lahashem, when you, my neshama, that's why he's speaking b'lashon nekeva, when you spoke to Hashem, and what did you say, Adonai ata, that you are my master. Hainu birchas ha'anod mevorchem baruch ato Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. This refers to the bracha when one has pleasure of something, that you make the bracha of baruch ato Hashem, and you're being makad that Hashem is your master. So that's what the neshama said to Hashem. And the end of the pasuk, Toivasi Balalecha, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshiv Toivasi Balalecha. The Rebbein Shalom is responding to the Neshama, my Toiva is Balalecha. What does that mean? She'ena Sheli HaToiva, She'nasati Lach. It's not a Toiva that is coming from me because I gave it to you. Eina Sheli Ela Shalcha, She'konisoi Sobi Birchoscha, you were kona this tova through your bracha. So it's not toiva si, that my toiva is going to you. No, toiva si balalecha, my toiva is not going to you. Why? Because it's your own hano, it's your own tova. You were kona it by making the bracha. So it's no longer considered mine. Va'or, it's nasan, levnei adam. After the bracha, it's already given over to you, so you're having hanah from your own thing. As the Gemara continues, third line, im achalta ubeirachta, if you ate and you made a bracha, which the pashup shot is, you made a bracha before you ate. However, my chavrus or my Rottenberg shlita said, perhaps this is going according to the Rishonim who learned that not only is there an inyan to say a bracha before having hana, and in that way the person is kona the item and he's not moel behegdish, as we learned before, but even the bracha achroin is also part of the pigeon. of the redemption that makes it a person's, that it belongs to the person, v'or it's nasal of the Adam, that's through the bracha achrayin as well. So perhaps the Gemara here, by putting the word bracha after achila, is in fact referring to the bracha achrayinah, or also to the bracha achrayinah. Im achalto beirachto. If you made a bracha before, you made a bracha after you ate something. Kavi yachol. It is as if, ki'ilu mishalcha achalto. It is as if you have eaten from your own. So that is the makor for making a bracha. And that is what takes it away from hegdish and is podet, and it belongs now to the person. While we are speaking about the pasuk of Amart Lashem Adoini Ata Toivasi Balalecha, the Gemara gives other pshatim in the phrase Toivasi Balalecha, Dover Acher, Toivasi Balalecha, that the word Baal doesn't mean it's not on you, like the first pshat learned, but Baal is from the Lashon Mevale Ani Toivasi Begufcha. I exhaust my toiva in your guf. Once you make the bracha, I give you so much toiva as if it was exhausted in your guf. As we find in the pasuk, simloscha loibolsa me'alecha. Your clothing, when they went in the midbar, did not wear out from on top of you. Dover acher, toivasi ba'alecha, uchloloi kola toivas v'yavoyu alecha. That's the girsa that we have. However, the Pnei Moshe and the Mara Fulda and the Shinui Neschois change the Chaf to a Beis. Yibolulu kol ha-toivus v'yavoyu alecha explains the Mara Fulda that this is Miloshin Mincha Belula. All is arvu kol ha-toivus yachdov. All the toivus should blend together like a mincha belula, a mincha that is blended together with the oil, with the shemen. That's how all the toivus should become blended and come upon you. Amar Rav Acha. Rav Acha had a fourth pshat in Balalecha. Mahu Balalecha. She'eini mevi toiva. Alo Elam, I'm not going to bring, Hashem says, a toiva to the world. Mi bal odecha. Without you, you are going to be part of the recipients of the toiva that I'm going to bring to the world. Explains the Charedim, Divrei Amaschol Ma'u Baal Alecha, that what is Rav Acha doing? Mechaber Shtei HaTevois. He is joining together the two words Baal Alecha. Now, once you join it, the word would be Baal Alecha. But what he's doing is he is Machlev Lamed Alecha Bedalis. Bedalit. He is changing the lamed of the word alecha to a dalet. And now, by putting the two words together and changing the lamed in alecha to a dalet, you have the word biladecha. And how do we have a right to do this? Because the oisius, dalet, tes, lamed, nun, tof, these oisius mischalfas can be exchanged one to the other, and once you change the lamed in alecha to adalid, dahavu, by joining the two words together, baladecha, continues the Gemara, kemo da'at amar. This word baladecha is just the same as we find when Paroi appointed Yosef to be the viceroy over Eretz Mitzrayim. He said, u baladecha, without you, lo yorim eshas yadoi. No one will lift up a hand. In other words, no one will do anything in Mitzrayim without your permission. And that is the meaning of Baal Alecha, that the person who makes a bracha in any goodness that a Kaddish Baruch Hu brings to the world, he will be part of it. He will not be excluded. So we have a total of four pshatim in the words Baal Alecha. And meanwhile, we have a makor for making a bracha, and through the bracha, it becomes the person's own property. Continues the Gemara with a fifth way that we see that you have to make a bracha before you eat something. Tani Reb Chiya, Kodesh Hilulim. This is a pasuk by Kerem Revai, and it says
Kodesh Ilulim, it is holy to make two praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melamed, Sheoton Bracha Lefanav Ula Achrav. What are the two Hilulim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? One Bracha before you eat something and one Bracha afterwards. Mikan, Hayu Rabbi Kiva. I remember Rabbi Kiva used to say, Lo Yitam Adam Klum Achivarcha. A person should not taste anything until he makes a Bracha. However, the Bavli says that this pasuk is an asmachta biyama. Let us see the Haredim, who brings the Bavli. Kodesh Ilulim. So first the Haredim explains, Bekerem Ravai Ksiv, Umash Meshnei Ilulim Ta'an Bachilasai, Kisha Tachlana Bishana Haravis, when you eat the Kerem Ravai in the fourth year, after the 3 years of Orla, Shehu Mutter Bachilin, that fourth year becomes Mutter Bachila. What do you have to do? Hilulim. You have to do two Hilulim. One bracha before, one bracha after. Mikan. From here, Rabbi Kiva learned that you have to make a bracha before and after you eat anything. However, Bibavli, bracha slaman hayamid aleph, parach, tinach, karam. That's good karam. Sharmin, inu peres acheres minayim. But how do you know other items, other fruits? And the Gemara, in fact, says that karam has a tzad mizbeach, because you bring it as nesachim, libations on the Mizbeach. Maybe that's the only thing that requires a bracha, not other things. Ella, the Gemara concludes, as we've mentioned before, Svarahu, the Kivin Shenan, that's Tzarech Lahaydus L'Misha Bara. If you have pleasure from something Hashem created, you have to praise and thank the one who created. Umasik, El Al Korchin, Ein Zel Limit Gomer, Las Machta B'Yama. The Gemara comes out that this pasuk, which the Bavli also brings, Kodesh Ilulim, as a raya that you have to make a bracha before and after, that is an asmachta biyama, it's a remez, but the ikur limud is from the logic that you have to thank the person who is benefiting, and in this case, the one who is benefiting you is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so you have to make the bracha before and after. Continues the Gemara. We have shown five different approaches of how we learned that one must make a bracha before having hanoah from a food item, and a bracha after. And now the Gemara goes into a bracha over mitzvahs. And it begins with a story. We will learn the pshat of the Haredim, although there are various pshatim in the Rishayim and Achrayim on the next Gemara, we will go with the Haredim. Rav Chagai v'Rab Yirmiya, Salkin l'bei chanvasa. Rav Chagai and Rav Yirmiya went to the stores. They went around, they went up to examine the stores, the weights and the measures in the various stores. We'll see in the Haredim exactly what they did. Kofetz Rav Chagai ubir chalein. Rav Chagai jumped up and he made a bracha. We'll see in the Haredim what the bracha was. Amr le Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya said to Rav Chagai, Yos avadit. You properly did this. You were correct in making a bracha. Shekala mitzvahs tunis bracha. Every mitzvah requires a bracha. And the Gemara concludes, Uminayin shekala mitzvahs tunis bracha. How do you know all mitzvahs require a bracha? Rab Tam Tchuma and Rab Abba Bar Kahana B'Shem Rab Lazer. He learns it from a pasuk. V'etnu l'chais luchas ha'evin. I gave you the luchais ha'torah v'amitzvahs. Hikish Torah l'mitzvah. We see that Torah is compared to a mitzvah. Ma Torah tuna bracha. Just like Torah requires birchas ha'torah before you learn the Torah. Af mitzvah tuna bracha. Before you do a mitzvah, it requires a bracha. So now let us see the Haredim to flesh out exactly what the Yerushalmi here was discussing. The Haredim is Divri Amaskel Rav Chagai v'Rav Yirmiya, right at the end of the short lines, right before the wide line. Salkin lebei chanusa, Loshna Rambam, B'soy Perakes Mehilchitz Geneva, Chayavin Bezdin Lahamed Shoitrim B'chol Medina Medina, U B'chol Plach U Plach. There's a chiv on Bezdin to appoint officers in every country, in every city, every locale, Sheyiu Marzirin Al Hachanuyos, that they should go around to the stores. Umitzatkin Es Hamaznayim Ves Hamidos. They make sure that the weights and the measurements are all precise. Upoiskim Es Hashorim. And they make sure there's no price gougers, that the value of the item is the correct market value. V'chol Misha Nimtzi Moy Mishkel Chaser. Anyone who has a weight that is deficient, oy mida chasera, or a measurement that's deficient, oy maznayim chukolim, or the weights that are deficient. Yeshlem Rishus LaKoisa Kifi Koichoi. Bezdin has a right to hit the person according to how many lashes he can take, according to his strength. A weak person will give less, a strong person will give more, LaKansoi. And to punish him, that he has to pay money. Kifi Roy's Bezdin LaKazak HaDover. According to the evaluation of Bezdin, what it will take to strengthen this matter. The Chol Mi Shemafki Hashar Moicher B'Yoker, anyone who price gouges and makes the price too high, Matkin Oisai, they hit him, V'Kaifin Oisai, they force him, U'Moicher Kishar Ashuk, Ad Kam L'Shani. This is what the Rambam says, that Bezdin forces the person to sell it at the market value. We'll skip down four lines, and the Charedim continues. V'Rav Chagai v'Rav Yirmiyahu hayu mekayim in mitzvah zu. This is the mitzvah that Rav Chagai and Rav Yirmiyahu were being mekayim when they went around to the stores. V'Efsher sheheim hayu memunim hamachzirim ala chanuyos al pi Bezdin. Either, says the Charedim, they themselves were the shlichim of Bezdin, going around to the various stores. Inami heim hayu al Bezdin. They were not the messengers of Bezdin, but they were in fact the Bezdin itself. They were going to stores. That those people who were appointed hakvuyim sham, who were situated in that locale in the stores, they should tell them me of us who did not keep the measurements and weights properly. Vikansu, and then they, with the force of Bezdin, would punish the person, make him pay a fine. They would collect the fine, or as representatives of the Bezdin of Rav Chagai and Rav Yirmiyahu, they would hit the person, according to the evaluation of Bezdin, how much money to fine the person and how many lashes to give the person, according to his strength. So that was the mitzvah that they, either as Shluchei Bezdin or as the Bezdin itself, that's what they were doing. Ubirach. So we learned in the Gemara that Rav Chagai jumped up and he made a bracha. What did he make? He made the bracha. Asher Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kirishanu B'mitzvoyis V'tzivanu L'saken Hamidos V'maznayim U'L'saken Asharim. That Hashem gave us a commandment to make sure that the measurements and the weights were all precise, and that no one would be cheated by paying too much and getting too little. And then Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Chagai, you did very well, you did properly, because all mitzvahs need a bracha, says the Charedim. Kein matzasi l'Rabbeinu Eliyahu. I found Rabbeinu Eliyahu used to do this. Shaya mevorach, shaya nois and tztaka, oimal velani. When he gave tztaka to a poor person or he gave him a loan, he used to make a bracha. V'chein b'chol mitzvahs. Every mitzvah in the Torah, like this mitzvah, to make sure that the weights are proper, he would make a bracha on every mitzvah in the Torah. But, says the Charedim, v'loy nagu kein oilam. But we don't do that. We don't make a bracha on every mitzvah. Ela, b'miktsas mitzvahs mevarchim, miktsas ein mevarchim. Some mitzvahs we make a bracha, some we don't make a bracha. Ukvar, nishal, or rajba. The rajba and chelik alav simen yutches of the tshuvas or rajba was asked aladavra on this inyan. Why do we make a bracha on some and not the other? If there's an inyan, as we learned in our Gemara, we compare Torah to mitzvahs. Just like you have to make a bracha on Torah, so you have to make a bracha on a mitzvah, so why don't we make it on all mitzvahs? And the Rajba gave reasons why certain mitzvahs, he was like, it wasn't a simple reason. He was like in a state of a tchak, b'shas ha-tchak. He pressed out a reason why certain mitzvahs we don't make a bracha on. I haven't seen the Rajba, but from memory, the Rajba says, for example, by tztaka, why don't we make a bracha? Because when you give the tztaka, you don't know if you're going to fulfill the mitzvah, because the person could refuse to take it from you. It's not good enough what you're giving to him. There are many stories of aniyim throwing the money back to the people who gave it to them. It's not adequate what they are looking for. So you made a bracha, and then it came out you didn't do the mitzvah of tztaka. So a mitzvah that's totally bedas acherim and other people, on that we don't make a bracha. It could turn out that the bracha is levatola. So very interesting that the Charedim says Rabbeinu Eliyahu used to make a bracha on every mitzvah. The Rajba explains why we are not noyig to make a bracha on all mitzvahs. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Nasav Zeisa, Rabbi Yochanan took a zayis, an olive, ubirich, lefanav lo'achrav, and he made a bracha before eating the olive and afterwards. V'havu Rabbi Chiya Barva Mistakobei, and Rabbi Chiya Barva, who was present at that time, was staring at Rabbi Yochanan in wonder, in amazement. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chiya Barva, Bavloyo, Babylonian, Alama at Mistakelbi. Why are you staring at me in amazement? I made a bracha before eating the zayis and a bracha achrayna. Leslach kol shehu mimin shiva ton bracha lefanav l'achrav. Don't you hold of the halacha that any one of the shiva saminim, and zayis is one of the shiva saminim, it requires a bracha before and a bracha after? So, what are you looking at me in amazement? So, Rabbi Chiya Barvo, out of respect to Rabbi Yochanan, did not respond. However, as we turn to the Afsamach Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Islay, that of course Rabbi Chiya Barvo was moided to this principle that Rabbi Yochanan had stated that kol shehu mimin shiva ton bracha lefanav l'achrav. So the Gemara asks, if he held of it, umatzri chalei, so what was difficult? What was bothering him? Why was he staring at Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara answers, Mipnei shegalinosei mimatosei. He was staring in amazement, not at the bracha rishayna. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan had to make a bar of priates over the zayis before eating it. His pella was, how could Rabbi Yochanan make a bracha achrona on the olive once the pit is removed? It's less than the proper amount of azayis. Galinase is like the word garinase. It's seed, it's pit. Mibneshe garinase mimatase. If you don't consider the pit, if you just consider the meat of the olive, then you have less than an olive's worth. So how could he make a bracha achrayna? If he would have eaten two olives, then he can make a bracha achrayna. But just on one olive? So the Gemara says, good point. The less Rabbi Yochanan shegalinosim matosai. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold of this? What in fact, ma ovid le Rabbi Yochanan? What does Rabbi Yochanan do with this taina of Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya seems to be correct. There's less than the shear here. How could he make a bracha achrayna? The Gemara answers, Mishum Beria. Rabbi Yochanan held that ain't a chanami. Let's say you open up the olive and you take out the pit and you only eat the rest of it, then you'll have less than a shear. You would not make a bracha achrayna. But since Rabbi Yochanan ate it as a whole entity, a complete creation, so then it did have the shear. And here we have a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rajba. The Rosh says that Ein Echanami Rabbi Yochanan did not eat the pit. However, since it was presented to him, not cut up, it was presented to him as a whole entity. So when someone eats a fruit that was presented as a whole entity, even though it comes out that in the meat of the fruit there is less than the shear because you're minus the pit, but in such an instance, you would make a bracha achrayna. However, the Rajb is of the opinion that no, even if you're presented with a whole olive and you would remove the pit, you would not make a bracha achrayna. What it means, Beria, that ain't chanami. Rabbi Yochanan swallowed the entire olive, including the inedible part, which was a pit. And Mimele, we understand very well why Rabbi Chiya was looking in amazement and did not accept the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan that he was eating a beria, because Rabbi Chiya only included what is edible. Just because Rabbi Yochanan consumed the whole olive with the inedible part doesn't give it a shear. You can't include what is inedible. That was the svara of Rabbi Chiya. Continues the Gemara, Milsed Rabbi Yochanan, from this incident that happened with Rabbi Yochanan, Amro, it teaches us an important halacha. Shekein afilu ochel prey de achashalonav. If a person eats one unit of a grape, that grape is a beria. Oy prey de achashalriman, or one unit of a pomegranate. Shehuton bracha lefanav ulachreha. We see from Rabbi Yochanan, from the Maaser Rav, that incident that Rabbi Yochanan was involved in, where he made a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona on this olive, we see that any time a person consumes a unit, a whole unit, a whole beria, he would have to make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. And the Gemara gave two examples of this. One is a grape, which we understand. The grape is less than the shear, but it's a whole thing. So we see from Rabbi Yochanan, you make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. However, the achronim have difficulty with the second example of the Gemara. The second example is a pomegranate. So many achronim learn that prey to achashor rimon means eating up a whole pomegranate. And then the question is, what does this mushel have to do with our whole sugya here? Our sugya is speaking about where a beria was eaten, and that beria was less than a olive's worth. It was less than the shear to make a bracha achrona. However, in the case of a pomegranate, this large fruit, it's larger than a kezias. So how does that come into our discussion here? So on those achronim that learn that it's a whole pomegranate, this is a difficult question. However, the Tiferes Yisrael says that what the Gemara here is referring to is a section of the pomegranate, which is a seed-filled cells of the pomegranate, a section of that which is less than the shear, but that itself is considered a beria, and memela one would have to make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. The Rambam goes so far as to say that prayed achashorimun in fact refers to one seed of the pomegranate. The Mechaber in Aruch Chaim, Simen Resh Yud Sif Aleph, paskens that since there is a suffix, what exactly is considered a beria, therefore a person should not bring himself into this suffix, this shaila, and therefore a person should never eat, for example, one grape, which is less than the shear, and it's a beria, because we don't know what exactly a beria entails and how small a beria could be, and therefore a person should not bring himself into the suffix, and he should always eat more than the shear and not rely on beria alone. And in fact, if we look in the Charedim on Samach Amid Aleph, approximately 8-9 lines from the bottom, the Charedim ends his discussion on this inyan and says, V'kiven da dover suffik, since it's a suffik, exactly which beria is large enough to be considered that a person could make a bracha achrona on that beria, kosvu, as we mentioned from the Mechaber in Aruch Chaim, shetoiv lizor mila'echo beria shleima levada pechusa mikazayis, a person should never eat a beria alone, which is less than the kezayis, because there are many different shilas and shitas in this inyan, and a person should not enter into a suffik. He should always be yoytze l'chatchila by eating a proper shear of a kezayis, and only an edible part of the kezayis, not the pit, and he should be moitzi himself from all the sveikas that we've had here in the sugya. We should add that what makes the inyan here more complex concerning beria less than a shear is because there may be a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi in this inyan. The Bavli in Brachas asks the same question on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, why Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha achrona on an olive if the pit took up space, and removing the pit would make it less than the shear. And the Bavli gives a different answer than the Yerushalmi, not because of beria, but because the olive that Rabbi Yochanan was consuming was larger than the average olive. So even after the pit was taken away, there was still a shear. So the Taisus there wants to be medayik that since the Bavli didn't give this teretz of the Yerushalmi of beria, it would seem that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi and holds that even a beria, if it's less than the shear, would not obligate one to make a bracha achrona. However, There is an opinion in Tosfos that says that there is no machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi, because they're speaking about two different cases. The case of the Bavli was concerning, as the Gemara there speaks out, that it was a salted olive. A salted preserved olive, usually the pit has already been removed. So that means Rabbi Yochanan wasn't being presented with an entire olive containing a pit. And therefore, the only teretz that the Bavli could give was that it was a larger olive, even though the pit was removed, there was still a shear. However, the Yerushalmi here is speaking about a fresh olive. A fresh olive has the pit in it, and in Mela, it is a beria, even though, if we would consider only the edible part, it would be less than the shear. So it could be, according to this pshat of Tosfos, that the Bavli agrees with Yerushalmi that where you have the pit in the olive, it's considered a beria and you don't need the entire shear. So that's a question, whether the Bavli and Yerushalmi agree with each other or not. Furthermore, there's a shaila, do we paskin like the Rosh, or do we paskin like the Rajba that we mentioned before? Is a beria considered, if it's presented to you with the pit and you remove it, are you still considered eating a beria? And there would be a chiv bracha chorayna, or it's only with you eating the inedible part. So that's a further complication here in the inyan. And therefore, because of all of these sveikas in this inyan, it is correct for a person, especially when there are no pits involved, like grapes, raisins, berries, beans, for a person to eat a beria less than a shear, he's getting involved in a major area of controversy, of machlokas, and therefore we understand very well the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, and as we saw in the Charedim, that in such an instance, a person should refrain from eating only one beria, but rather he should eat an entire shear where he is not bringing himself into any suffix. Continues the Gemara, it's said in the Mishnah that on everything you make a Bari Priya Eitz on a fruit of a tree, Chutz Min HaYayin, because of the Cheshivas of wine, you make a special bracha Bari Priya Gafen. Says the Gemara, there are many Pshatim here in the Gemara, we are going to go with the Pshat of the Pnei Moshe and with the Girsa of the Pnei Moshe. We will first learn the Gemara, and then we will see the Pnei Moshe inside. Yayin bizman shehu k'may shehu, if the wine is not diluted and it is very strong. In those days, the wines were very strong and they used to dilute it, three parts water, one part wine. But what happens if a person had the wine in front of him and it was not diluted? So it was considered so strong that it did not yet merit to be called wine and to have a Bayer Priya Goffin Bracha. So when it's so strong, undiluted, Oymer Allah Bayer Priya Eitz, so it retains its original Bracha of Bayer Priya Eitz. Now our gear says, Ve'ein Neutlim Imenel Yadayim, you cannot use it for washing Al Natilis Yadayim. However, the Pnei Moshe will bring a Toisefta, that the gear says, Ve'neutlim Imenel Yadayim. In other words, the klal, according to the Pnei Moshe and the Tosefta that he quotes, is that if the mashke has reached the stage where it's called wine, it's diluted, it's a geshmaka wine where one drinks, and therefore it gets by a priya goffin, then one should not use it, even though you're doing a mitzvah of netilas yadayim with it, you should not use wine. However, as long as it has not yet attained the status of by a priya goffin, it's undiluted, it's not considered wine yet, it retains the brach of Bayer Priya Eitz, then there is no issue with using it for Netilas Yadayim, as we're going to see at the end of the sugya. There's no problem concerning Ibud Oichlin, that you're baltashkes, that you're wasting a food item or a mashke. You're not wasting it. If it would be already on the madrega of a Bayer Priya Goffin, if it would be real wine, then even though you're using it for a mitzvah until it's your dime, that's not what wine is made for. That would be considered Ibud Oichlin. But as long as it's undiluted and you're making on it a Bayer Priya Eitz, there's no problem that you're wasting this undiluted wine on the Netilas Yadayim. So according to the Tosefta, the Girsa, in the first part of the Tosefta here is that, And we're going to see these are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Bizman continues the Tosefta Shehu Mazik when it's diluted. Oimer Alav Bar Priyagof. And then you say a Bar Priyagof. It came to its proper chashivas of a brach of Bar Priyagof. And now our gears is V'naitlim Menel Yadayim. The Tosefta, which the Pnei Moshe brings, is V'naitlim Menel Yadayim. As we said, the rule, once it reaches the status, the chashivas of Bar Priyagof, one does not use it for Netilos Yadayim. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So there's a chilek according to Rabbi Eliezer, whether it's undiluted, you make Bar Priya Eitz, and you could use it for Netilos Yadayim, or whether it's diluted, and then you make a Bar Priya Gofen, and you are not allowed to use it for Netilos Yadayim. V'chachamim Aymerim. The Chacham disagree, and they say, Bein Chai, Bein Mazik, whether it is live, meaning it's undiluted, Bein Mazik, whether it is diluted, Oymrim Alav, Bar Priya Gofen. In both instances, you say a Bar Priya Gofen. Our girsa is v'naitlim mimenel yadayim. The Pnei Moshe brings the Tosefta that the girsa is einaitlim mimenel yadayim. This will fit in according to the klal that once any mashke has reached the madrega where we call it bayir priya gofen, as the chachamim hold bein mazik bein ein mazik, you're not allowed to use it for netilas yadayim. Amar Rab Abba ein boy mishum oivden eichlin. There is no problem with using this wine. As far as Baltashkas, as far as wasting food or wasting drink, without the Tosefta's Girsa, if we have our Gemara's Girsa of V'naitlim Mimenel Yadayim, Rab Abba would be going on the words of the Chachamim, that even wine that's Bar Priya Gofen, if you're using it for a mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, there's no problem with Ibid Eichlin. However, according to the changes that the Tosefta makes in this Brisa, and we have in the words of the Chum, Ein Neutlin. So Rabbi Abba's words are directed to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer comes out, is the only one who says, Neutlin Mimenel Yadayim. In which case? In the case where it's Kemoishu Chai, it's not Mazoig, it's undiluted, then you make a Bar Priya Eitz. On that, Rabbi Abba says, since it did not reach the Cheshivas, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a Bar Priya Gofen, it's only a Bar Priya Eitz, then there's no Ibid Eichlin. But if it would come to the Madreg of Bar Priya Gofen, then there would be Ibid Eichlin. Now let us see the Pnei Moshe quoting this Tosefta inside. The right-hand column, Divri Amaskal Yaim Bizmanchu Kamoishu Chai, V'Tosefti B'Perek Dalet, V'Nischalfu Atevis B'Kan B'Shas. Here in the Yerushalmi, the words got mixed up. V'Hochi Isa Hosam. And this is how the Girsa is there in the Tosefta. Bereshit in the beginning, where it's undiluted, in Rabbi Eliezer, Bar Priya Eitz, V'Neitlim Menel Yadayim, not like we have V'Ein Neitlin, but V'Neitlin, since it's Eitz and not Gofen, you do use it for Netilas Yadayim. Dakati Lo Yishtani L'Mal Yusa. It has not yet come to its Madreget, its high level of Chashivas, of diluted wine, where one would make a Bar Priya Gofen. Then it would be Ein Neitlin. Ubim Mozik, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if it's diluted, then it comes to the Chashivas of Bar Priya Gofen, V'Ein Neitlim Menel Yadayim. Again, our girsa is V'Neitlim Mimenu, and according to the Tosefta, it's Ein Neitlim Mimenu. Once it comes to Bar Priya Gofen, Ein Neitlim Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Then we had Rab Abba's statement that Ein Boy Mishum Oivden Oichlin, Lefi Agirsa Kosov Esvarim, according to our girsa that the Chachamim say, although it's Bar Priya Gofen, Neitlim Mimenu Liyadayim, Koi, Adivri Chachamim Koi. According to our girsa, then the words of Rab Abba are going on to Chachamim. The Ein Boy Mishum Ibid Oichlin, there's no problem of Ibid Eichlin, Kishin Neitlim Mimenel Yadayim. When you use Bayre Priya Gofen wine for Netilas Yadayim, there's no problem. You're doing a mitzvah, even though it came to the Cheshivas of wine. But that's not the correct Girsa. Avon Nira Digam Zeta Seiferhu. This is also a mistake in our Gemara. Ube Tosefta Goris. If you look into Tosefta, you'll see the Girsa. They argue in Rabbi Eliezer and they hold that whether it's Mazik or it's Ainu Mazik, you still make a Bar Priya Gofen, you do not make a Bar Priya Eitz. V'ein Neitlin Eimenel Yadayim. And in both instances, you do not use it for Netilas Yadayim. Because we go with the klal that once it came to the Cheshivas of Bar Priya Gofen, you don't use it for Netilas Yadayim. V'im Kein, Divrei Rab Abba, the words of Rab Abba, Lefirushei Tamid Rab Lazar Bereish Dvarvein. So now the words of Rab Abba are not going on the Chachamim, because they hold you're not allowed to use wine for until Shadayim. So where could we put the words of Rab Abba? Only on Rab Eliezer, at the beginning of his words, when he's speaking about undiluted wine, which his shita is that it's considered Boire Priya Eitz. Time the Rab Lezer Bereish Dvarvein, it's going on Rab Lezer at the beginning of his words, the Chol Zman Shaloi Nishtana L'Chashivas, as long as the wine has not become proper wine, diluted wine, where you make a Bar Priya Gafen, but rather it's only a Bar Priya Eitz, it doesn't have the Chashivas, the full worthiness of wine. If you're only making a Boyer Priyates on this mashke, then there is no Ibid Eichlin. Then you're allowed to use it for until this time. But once you diluted it and it's Boyer Priya Goffin, then even Rab Lezer's Moida, you're not allowed to use it for until this time. And according to the Chachamim, you're never allowed to use diluted or not diluted wine. You're not allowed to use it for until this time. And there is a problem of Ibid Eichlin, because Rabbanan Sheet is that you make a Boyer Priya Goffin on both.